The city of Los Angeles has always had a relationship with fear. Earthquakes, riots, wildfires, Hollywood scandals, cults, serial killers. But in the summer of 1985, fear became something different. It crawled through unlocked windows. It stepped silently across bedroom floors. It carried a gun, a tire iron, a machete. And it struck with warning. Old couples, children, single women, families. No one understood the pattern because there was no pattern. The killer didn't care about age, race, neighborhood, or time. He simply hunted. And when the sun went down, Los Angeles held its breath. Because somewhere out there, the Night Stalker was awake. In the mid-1980s, California was terrorized by one of the most unpredictable serial killers in American history. A man who worshipped Satan. A man fascinated by violence. A drifter with rotting teeth, dark eyes, and a chilling smile that witnesses would never forget. His name was Richard Ramirez. And for months, he turned Southern California into a nightmare. This is the story of the Night Stalker. A boy raised around death, Richard Ramirez was born Ricardo Lavia Munoz Ramirez on February 29, 1960, in El Paso, Texas. He grew up in a poor Mexican-American household with strict parents and frequent violence. His father, Julian Ramirez, was known for explosive rage. Beatings inside the home were common. Fear became normal to Richard at a very young age. But the person who truly shaped him was his older cousin, Miguel. Miguel had recently returned from the Vietnam War, and he brought the horrors of war home with him. He showed young Richard graphic photos of mutilated women. He bragged about torture, rape, murder. Ricardo idolized him. Miguel became more than family. He became a mentor. And according to later reports, Miguel taught Richard how to kill quietly, how to stalk people, how to use fear as power. Then, in 1973, Richard witnessed something that would permanently scar him. Miguel shot and killed his own wife during an argument, right in front of Richard. The image never left him. Violence became fused with excitement, control, sex, power. And over time, Richard Ramirez stopped seeing human beings as people. They became targets. The making of a monster. As a teenager, Richard drifted deeper into darkness. He became obsessed with Satanism, heavy drug use, burglary. He spent hours walking neighborhoods at night, peering into windows, watching strangers sleep. He developed a fascination with vulnerability. He loved the idea that people believed they were safe inside their homes. And eventually, he became breaking into those homes. At first, the crimes were theft, but the violence escalated quickly. Ramirez moved to California in the early 1980s. He bounced between cheap hotels and apartments in Los Angeles. He rarely bathed, rarely worked, and survived through robbery and crime. But inside him, something darker was building. And by 1984, the killing had begun. The first murderers, one of Richard Ramirez's earliest known victims, was 79-year-old Jeannie Vincow. In June of 1984, Ramirez entered her Los Angeles apartment through an unlocked window. He stabbed her repeatedly while she slept. The attack was brutal, overkill. It wasn't robbery. It wasn't personal. It was rage. And it would become his signature. Over the next year, the murders intensified. Ramirez attacked elderly women in their homes. He sexually assaulted victims, beat them, shot them, mutilated them. Sometimes he used guns, other times knives, sometimes blunt force trauma. Investigators struggled desperately to connect the crimes because the methods changed constantly. There was no single victim profile, no geographic consistency, no clear motive, only terror. And because the attacks happened at night, the media gave him a name that would soon become legendary, the Night Stalker. Los Angeles lives in fear. By the summer of 1985, Southern California was in panic. People began sleeping with weapons. Gun sales exploded. Security companies were overwhelmed with requests. Parents kept children indoors after dark. Every strange noise became terrifying. Every creaking floorboard, every barking dog, every open window. Richard Ramirez created psychological warfare across the entire region. And what made him especially terrifying was randomness. One night, he targeted elderly couples. The next, young women. One victim survived. Another was murdered instantly. There was no logic. No one could say, he only attacks here. He only attacks them. He only attacks this type of person. Anyone could become prey. And Ramirez loved that fear. He often forced victims to swear loyalty to Satan. He left pentagrams at crime scenes. He demanded people swear to Satan before he attacked them. The murders felt almost supernatural to terrified residents. A faceless evil wandering through Los Angeles at night. Some of the most horrifying details came from survivors, people who looked directly into the eyes of Richard Ramirez and lived. One survivor described his stare as pure evil. Another said his eyes looked dead, empty, cold. Ramirez often entered homes barefoot to avoid leaving footprints. He moved silently through darkness. Sometimes victims woke up to find him already standing over them. Imagine that moment, opening your eyes in the middle of the night and seeing a stranger in your bedroom, a gun pointed at your face, a knife glinting in darkness. No warning, no time to react, only terror. In one attack, Ramirez shot a husband in the head before assaulting his wife. In another, he murdered sleeping victims with such brutality that investigators were horrified. Children were not spared. That was part of what made him different from many serial killers. There were no boundaries, no morality, no humanity, only appetite. As media coverage intensified, Richard Ramirez became something else entirely, a symbol of evil. The 1980s were already filled with fear surrounding satanic panic in America. Rumors about cults, devil worship, rituals. And Ramirez fed directly into those fears. He openly praised Satan, drew pentagrams, and embraced the media attention. When police finally released his name, an image to the public, people were stunned. He looked exactly like the monster they imagined. Long dark hair, sunken eyes, terrible teeth, and gaunt face. He appeared almost corpse-like, but beneath that appearance was something even more frightening, confidence. Ramirez believed he was untouchable, and for a while, he was. Law enforcement faced enormous pressure. The public demanded answers. The media attacked investigators daily. Fear spread faster than facts. But eventually, small mistakes began catching up to Richard Ramirez. At one crime scene, investigators found a shoe print from a rare Avia sneaker. At another, they discovered fingerprints linked to previous arrests. The walls were closing in. Then came the breakthrough. Police finally obtained a photograph of Ramirez and released it publicly in August of 1985. And suddenly, everyone in California knew his face. The Night Stalker was no longer a shadow. He was real. And Richard Ramirez made a critical mistake. He returned to Los Angeles, unaware that his image was now everywhere. On August 31st, 1985, Richard Ramirez stepped off a bus into East Los Angeles. Almost immediately, People recognized him. And then something extraordinary happened. Ordinary citizens chased a serial killer through the streets. Residents screamed, "That's him, the Night Stalker." Ramirez panicked. He attempted to carjack vehicles, tried to escape through neighborhoods, but the community fought back. People chased him with pipes, sticks, anything they could grab. He was beaten by an angry mob before police finally arrived. Think about that for a moment. One of the most feared serial killers in American history, brought down not by elite tactical units, but by ordinary people refusing to let evil escape. It was chaotic, violent, raw. And when officers placed Ramirez into custody, the nightmare finally ended. Richard Ramirez's trial became a media circus. Women obsessed with serial killers filled the courtroom. Some claimed they loved him. Others sent him letters. It shocked the public. How could anyone admire a monster responsible for so much suffering? But Ramirez embraced the intention. He flashed pentagrams, raised devil horns with his hands, smiled during court appearances. At one point, he shouted, "Hail Satan!" Families of victims sat only feet away, forced to watch the man who destroyed their lives laugh and grin it for cameras. The evidence against him was overwhelming. Fingerprints, ballistics, eyewitnesses, DNA evidence. Survivors testified about unimaginable horror. And in 1989, Richard Ramirez was convicted of 13 murders and dozens of other crimes. He was sentenced to death. Richard Ramirez spent the rest of his life on death row at San Quentin State Prison, but he was never executed. In 2013, he died from complications related to cancer. He was 53 years old, and with his death, the Night Stalker's story finally came to an end. But the fear he created still lingers in American history, because Richard Ramirez wasn't merely a killer. He represented randomness, the terrifying reality that evil doesn't always follow rules. Sometimes monsters don't have patterns. Sometimes they don't have motives people can understand. Sometimes they simply enjoy destruction. Decades later, the Night Stalker case still fascinates people. Books, documentaries, films, podcasts. Why? Because Richard Ramirez attacks something deeper than physical safety. He attacked the idea of home. Your bedroom is supposed to be sacred. Your house is supposed to protect you. Ramirez shattered that illusion. And psychologically, that kind of fear lasts forever. Many survivors spent years unable to sleep normally again. Some kept lights on every night. Others moved away completely. Trauma doesn't end when the killer is caught. It lingers. And the city of Los Angeles carried those scars long after the headlines faded. The media transformed Richard Ramirez into a dark celebrity. Newspapers printed his face constantly. Television stations replayed crime scene details every night. The public became obsessed. And there's an uncomfortable truth about true crime that will still struggle. The public became obsessed. And there's an uncomfortable truth about true crime that we still struggle with today. America has always been fascinated by monsters. People want to understand them, to study them, to look directly into evil and ask, how does someone become this? But sometimes, that fascination creates something dangerous. Ramirez enjoyed being feared. He enjoyed becoming larger than life. And that raises difficult ethical questions. How do we tell these stories without glorifying the killers? How do we remember victims instead of turning murderers into icons? Because at the center of every true crime case are real people whose lives were destroyed. Not characters, not entertainment, human beings. Richard Ramirez left devastation everywhere he went. Families shattered forever, children traumatized, communities transformed by fear. Some victims survived physically, but carried emotional scars for life. Others never had the chance. And while the world remembers the Night Stalker, it's important to remember the names and lives behind the headlines. People who had routines, families, dreams, plans for tomorrow, all stolen. Serial killers often become infamous, but victims deserve memory too, because they were more than crime scene photos, more than newspaper headlines. They were human. One of the hardest things about Richard Ramirez is the lack of understandable motive. Some killers target specific groups. Some are driven by revenge, others by ideology. But Ramirez often seemed motivated by impulse itself. Violence for the sake of violence. Chaos for the sake of chaos. And maybe that's why the case remains so disturbing. Human beings desperately want meaning. We want explanations. But sometimes, there isn't one. Sometimes evil is simply empty. Richard Ramirez once claimed Satan told him to kill. Other times he blamed drugs, abuse, violence in his childhood. And yes, his upbringing was deeply traumatic, but millions of abused children never become murderers. At some point, choice enters the equation, and Richard Ramirez chose horror again and again. The Night Stalker murders changed policy in California. Jurisdictions began sharing information more aggressively. Media communication evolved. Behavioral profiling became increasingly important. The case exposed major weaknesses in coordination between agencies. But culturally, the impact was even bigger. The Night Stalker became part of American folklore, a boogeyman rooted in reality. Parents checked locks twice. People feared sleeping with windows open. Entire neighborhoods formed watch groups. And maybe the most haunting part was how normal Ramirez sometimes appeared. Not a genius mastermind. Not a wealthy criminal mastermind hiding in shadows. Just a drifter wandering through cities unnoticed. That reality terrifies people because it destroys comforting assumptions. Monsters don't always look like monsters. Sometimes they blend in until it's too late. Richard Ramirez wasn't just a killer. He was chaos. He broke every pattern investigators relied on. He attacked anyone, anywhere, at any time. And for months, an entire city lived in fear of the dark. But his story also reminds us of something powerful. In the end, it wasn't police who stopped him. It was ordinary people, neighbors, citizens, a community that refused to let the monster escape. Because sometimes, even in the darkest stories, human courage shines through. Thank you for listening to Among Monsters. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to follow the show and share it with someone who loves true crime. And remember, the world is full of mysteries, full of shadows, and sometimes monsters walk among us. Until next time, stay curious, stay cautious, and stay out of the dark.